Oh, you already know what that means when that beat drops. People, we are back at it again. What another blind banger, peace and love. What is going on for everybody? Welcome back to the Blind Perspective. I have missed you guys. I hope you guys have missed me. I know it's been a minute. I've been, you know, sick. My vocal cords have been all fucked up as of lately. Not podcast worthy for recording. Anyway, before we jump in, make sure you guys go hit the bells, hit the socials, get all that, like, share, subscribe, hit the podcast, Instagram, the_blind_perspective, hit my Instagram, only blind ghost, you already know how it's spelled, give you a couple seconds to do that, or just stand around like a fucking Momo. Good? Great. Alright, so, couple of things since the last time that, we chatted since episode 6. Episode 6, I kind of just went into story of how I went blind, but there's been a few updates since then. So I know I'm a little late to the party, but a few things. So May 1st, it was caught on CCTV in China that a robot just went fucking haywire, and people, this shit started, like, waving its arms all about and broke out of its restraints. Okay. What the fuck are we doing, people, with the robots? Can we chill? Can we chill? Because we're about a hairline's breadth away from, you know, these liquid metal robots from the fucking Terminator 2 movie. And I'm not really down with that. Like, can we just put the brakes on it real quick? Like, Jesus fucking Christ, I feel like I'm living in an alternate universe. Maybe we are living in an alternate universe. Who the fuck knows? Okay. What else? Right. Yeah. So I know, again, I'm late to the party on a couple of these things, but, okay, what is it with you guys wanting to attack gorillas? Okay. Now, I don't understand what it is with this whole debate. People have been debating this for a while, the whole 100 men versus one silverback gorilla. Okay, we are talking about a, like, 400 to 600 pound animal that is, like, okay, what did the gorilla ever do to you? Like, and of course it's going to be like 100 men versus one gorilla. People, again, we are saying about a creature that is 5 to 10 times stronger than a human. This thing weighs on average like 400 pounds and is 6 feet tall. Like, and if we're talking about men now, like, if we're talking about men that are stupid enough to get in the cage with a gorilla, or it's like, okay, if you're even on survival, like, why are you, if you're 100 men and you haven't figured out a way to get food or water or salvation, and your only resort is to fuck up a gorilla, well, for one, I'm not going to be a part of that, and for two, like, men are not built like how we used to be back in, like, you know, the 50s and the 60s, back when, like, war times, boo-rah, not wanting war to happen, but men were different back then. Like, you know, men went through a struggle. Now we got fucking, I can't really even say man buns because I got long hair, but now we got fucking vegans and fucking, we don't know who the fuck these people are. Like, people, men today, we are not, you know, we aren't calloused like the men that could take on a gorilla, okay? If we're talking like Navy SEALs, okay, yeah, cool. If we're talking like Green Berets, cool. If we're talking like an average Joe Blow nobody off the street, yeah, good luck. That gorilla's gonna fuck everybody up. Listen, it's gonna, okay, I'm gonna give you a breakdown of how the fuck this is gonna go down, okay? We're gonna give 100 men, we're gonna give one gorilla, okay? This thing has explosive energy. So, off the rip, 100 men are gonna huddle together. What are you gonna do? Huddle around the gorilla? Okay. So it's just gonna lash out at the first thing that it sees, and it's gonna rip whoever the fuck he grabs apart, okay? That's 99, okay? About 10 of these men are gonna fucking shit themselves and fucking start panicking. And those are the next to go, okay? We're down to 89, okay? Then it's gonna be about 20 or so men, right? That are just gonna charge the fucking gorilla. And that gorilla's gonna be pissed because now he tastes blood. So then he's definitely gonna jump on you. So that's 69. Okay? And then there's gonna be one that's just gonna be running, "Oh my God, someone help me." And then he's probably just gonna die just by getting fucking trampled on. Okay, so now we are down to 68. Okay, now about, I would say about five. Okay, so now we're down to 63. Okay, so five are just gonna, I'm gonna say try and create a diversion or something, and then the gorilla's just gonna get pissed, and he's just gonna wind up throwing something. He's gonna wind up chucking one of the dead bodies that he's not fucking mutilated, okay? So now we're down to 63. Okay? So then what's gonna happen is that there's gonna be three or so people that think that they're fucking tough guys and try and climb up on fucking King Kong, okay? And now we are down to 60. Okay? So then there's going to be a scrambling because then these people, because they think that they've seen some shit now, they think that they're the fucking lead survivor, okay? They're the lone shark, okay? So then they're gonna start diverting fucking plans, okay? "You go here, you go here, you go here." And then he's really not gonna calculate the velocity and the impact of a dead body being hurled at you by a silverback gorilla. Okay? So, oh man. Okay. So then, like, people, I could break this down a whole bunch of different mathematical ways. No matter how you break it. Because that was actually a pretty good breakdown, but I'm not really going to get down into the last little bit. No matter how you break it down, the gorilla's going to fucking win. Like, we ain't built like that. Like, we ain't built like that. Stop it. Like, it would take selective men. You can't just grab any old Joe Blow off the street and think that, things are just going to work out and be all quasi-quasi. It does not work that way, okay? So another thing. So since I've been, not really a hiatus, just been recovering from, vocal cords and shit. I'm not sick or anything, but it's like the inconsistency with the weather, has my vocal cords and like my voice coming in and out. So a lot of coughing. This is like the first couple of days that I've like not been like coughing and like a fucking person that smokes 12 packs of cigarettes. Anyway, so I promise you guys, I did say I was gonna see Lilo and Stitch, okay? And no one fucking paid attention to my podcast, okay? People, this is why I tell you to like, share, and subscribe. Go ahead and do it right now. Because I told you guys, okay? To the millions and millions, yes, I took the rock shit of people that are listening to the Ghost with the Six podcast. Okay, I told you guys, listen, millennials and zillennials, do not bring your fucking kids to this movie premiere, okay? What happens? I go to the movie theater, they got games, they got, yo. It's Friday. Y'all are supposed to be in school. And then there was a cute little baddie in line. And, I got to talking to her and I was like, I'm betting all these people were for Lilo and Stitch. And she's like, I'm one of them. And I was like, yeah, I am too. And I was like, none of these people. And I pointed it out to her. I was like, I bet none of these little kids ever saw the original Lilo and Stitch. Never saw Stitch Has a Glitch. Yup, bringing it back. Never saw the animated show series. Like, they don't know what Ohana is. They just start... Like, you gotta walk into this theater knowing what Ohana means, okay? Like, and these kids... And lucky fucking me, okay? So, I get seated and I like to get seated way up in the back, okay? So, the movie theater was fucking crowded, okay? Why are these kids not in school? Okay? That was my first thing. I was like, yo... Or some bullshit, like, and then the baddie in line told me, oh, my kids are off from school today, and I was like, what the fuck is going on, like, why are your kids off, I don't remember getting these days off, so, I know, and lo and behold, some fucking broad brought a fucking her little ass kid, which I had no problem with, because he didn't make a fucking people, what did she bring, oh, she brought a fucking car seat. Oh, and this little fucking crotch goblin started hailing and wailing and wailing most of the fucking movie. Like, I literally had to switch between the audio description and, like, the... Okay, so, when you go to a movie theater and, like, you're blind or visually impaired or you have a hearing impairment, you can switch between audio description and to where, the... speakers that you hear, like, from the audio are directly in the headphones, and you can, like, adjust it with, like, the dials or whatever. So I had to go back and forth with that because of how loud these fucking kids were. Mommy, can I have popcorn? Yo, mommy, can you tell your kid to shut the fuck up? For fuck's sake. Anyway, positive vibes only. I don't know why the fuck we always say that, because we always know that where there's a positive, there's a negative, scientifically speaking. Anyway, so the movie was okay. There was a few things I had a problem with, but I'm not going to be spoiling the movie for anybody who didn't see it. All I'm gonna say is I did find it funny that the social worker is actually played by the woman who was the voice actor of Nani in the original Lilo and Stitch. I did find that a little funny. I was like, hey, I know her. And I liked certain things about the movie, and there were certain things I didn't like. One of them was the attendance in the theater. Like, y'all could have... You guys should be in school. Anyway, it was good, and here's my thing. Because as a kid, I saw this in the movie theater, and I didn't realize that Stitch was an alien. I just thought Stitch was just... I kind of knew Stitch was an alien, but, like, as a kid, you're like, what? And I like Stitch. When I grew up, I was like, oh, Stitch is an alien. And that was really the first movie that Disney made that, like, talked about aliens. And I remember that when I was watching the trailers before Lilo and Stitch, there's this new movie coming out called Elio, and to where, like, he's wanting to get abducted by aliens, and in the trailer, he's like, this is my moment! And he's like, when he actually gets, like, beamed up, like fucking Scotty, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, okay, if they're making these movies for kids, they are mentally preparing the next generation for the alien invasion, okay? Yes, so set it, people, okay? We're gonna have robots and aliens, okay? And it's gonna... Because think about it, like, you notice how much of a focus we now have on ETs, extraterrestrials, UFOs. I'm just saying, people, maybe we're preparing the youth for you know, alien abductions. Like, maybe we're just letting the inevitable be known. And so, yeah. So I saw Lilo and Stitch. Had some things about it were good. A lot of things about it were good. Ohana means family. Some things about it I didn't like, but that'll be in a way later episode. Another movie I did see. Another movie I did see, right?
Oh, and this awoken up my inner child because I used to watch the original movies as a kid. So I saw Karate Kid Legends, and again, that there were because I'm a purist when it comes to these movies, especially the kung fu and the karate movies type. But like, I grew up watching on VHS the original Karate Kid and Karate Kid Part 2, where he fights Sato's nephew. What's his name? What was his name? I always forget his name. But when he goes to Okinawa and fights, what was his name? Oh, it's gonna come to me. It's gonna come to me. And seeing the third one, oh man, I get oh. Oh, his name is gonna come to me in the middle of my fucking of in the middle of me talking about something I was watching. And I had seen the third one a little bit later because I didn't realize that there was a third one. And that was the introduction to Terry Silver, and he's one of my favorite characters that in the Karate Kid series, also in the Cobra Kai series, because he's just so duplicitous. Chosen! Chosen, that was his name. Chosen, when he fought Chosen in Okinawa to the death match, and then the little hand drum. Yeah, his name was Chosen. His name was Chosen. Anyway, the third one introduced Terry Silver and Mike Barnes, who is also a really cool character. And in Cobra Kai, they also tie all those things together, from what I hear. I still have to finish watching Cobra Kai. So I remember watching these as a kid, and I remember going with my Uncle Bubba, shout out to him, going to see the Karate Kid remake, which was fucking terrible. With Will Smith's son, and is it Jaden? Yeah, it's Jaden. With Jaden Smith, and I didn't really like that one, but in this one, they incorporated both. Without any spoilers, like you saw it in the trailer, like they incorporated both Mr. Han and Daniel-san from excuse me, from the original and the remake, and I thought that was cool. And seeing that movie, it was perfect. Sat in the back, yo. And literally, what really broke my heart tremendously was how many people weren't there. Like literally, there was like three people there. That were me. There was like an older couple, and there might have been like two other people, three other people, but the theater was pretty much empty, which I enjoyed. But I was like, damn, like nobody really saw this movie. And yeah, but yeah, it was a good movie. And I believe this is the wrap up of, you know, the Cobra Kai Miyagi-Do, you know, series, you know. Two branches or one tree, two branches or two branches, one tree, however they say it. Yeah. So speaking of movies, did you guys hear about the Juice remake? Yeah. So apparently, Hollywood is remaking Juice. And I don't know how I feel about that. Actually, I do know how I feel about that. I don't think it should happen because Juice is a classic. Like, you have, like, I believe that, yeah, that was Tupac's first movie. That was Tupac's first movie, and, like, you really gonna try and remake it? And the thing is they got some good actors, and some I'm like, okay. They have Lakeith Stanfield, who was in the movie Get Out. He played Andre. They have Michael B. Jordan. They have Soulja Boy and they have Chris Brown now. Lakeith Stanfield, I don't have a problem with. Michael B. Jordan, some projects I like him in, some projects I don't. Chris Brown, from what I've seen, like, cause I've only seen, I've only seen him, act in the movie Takers, which was a really good movie about like bank heist and shit. That was a really good movie. I thought he did a pretty good job in that. But Soulja Boy, I don't know if he's even an actor. I didn't even look that up. Because I knew about Lakeith Stanfield, and I knew, obviously, Michael B. Jordan, because I'm a Rocky fan. But I'm just like, here's the thing. Like, I can't really see all the details in the poster, but, like, from what I can see, it's gonna be, like, from the details that I could get. Like, again, I'm not a Hollywood director, but if it's because anybody who's seen Juice, which if you're a Tupac fan, you've obviously seen Juice. Juice is a classic. Like, Bishop is one of my favorite characters in movies. Like, when I saw Juice as a kid, I was like, damn. But, like, here's what I'm thinking. Like, are we gonna have, like, a Michael B. Jordan or Lakeith Stanfield play Bishop? I'd rather Lakeith Stanfield play Bishop, which means that I guess Michael B. Jordan would have to play Q, right? Yeah, he'd have to play Q, and then I guess Chris Brown would have to play Raheem, but then that would mean that Soulja Boy would play Steel, and I can't really, again, I haven't seen Soulja Boy as an actor, but I can't see him playing Steel, and I can't see them making a movie and putting a big budget on this movie with people like Michael B. Jordan, Lakeith Stanfield, and people go and, you know, they pay to see it, and it's a flop, and I don't know how it's gonna look like, because I know it's acting, but are we really gonna have Chris Brown die in now, what, two movies? He's gonna be that dude that just dies in every movie that he's in? Come on now. No. Like, I'm gonna be honest, don't nobody want this. Nobody wants this. Nobody wants to smoke with this. And I don't know if it's the same producers that made the original, but, like, let's not remake Juice. Let's not remake Juice. Let's stop trying to fight gorillas. Like, let's knock it the fuck off. Like, nobody wants this. Like, what the fuck? Okay? Like, let's stop with the piss. Let's respect the robots that we see. Okay, every time I see one of the cleaning ones in the grocery stores, I'm always like, thank you, Mr. Terminator. Okay, let's pay respects to the robots, but let's not fucking bow down to them, okay? Let's not do the remake of Juice, because nobody wants that. And let's stop trying to fight gorillas. Like, y'all don't want the smoke. Like, you guys really don't want the smoke, especially from a gorilla. Like, because y'all will get fucked up. Y'all are more about mental health these days. And I don't think mentally you guys are fucking mentally prepared to deal with the fucking fallout and the crash out that will happen to your mind, body, soul, and spirit if you fuck with one of these creatures. Like, let's not. Okay? Switching gears. Okay, so I know that last week was a little bit of a long episode for those of you who listen, for those of you who are uninitiated, you know, standing there all unceremonious, Mr. Wayne. So I know I talked about my blindness and how exactly I became this, you know, charming individual that's White Cane certified. But and you know, again, like I said before, in episode 6, the remastered version, it'll be coming. sooner rather than, or it'll be coming soon, this time next year. So here's the thing. So when I listened back to that episode, I realized how much, like, I was just kind of glossing over things, okay? So one of the things I want to talk to you about is, like, the recovery and, like, the reshaping of my life, basically, that went through me losing my sight. And, you know, it's, like, it was, I like to say it wasn't a problem, like, you know, no sights, no problem, no mercy. That might actually be the title. Actually, that might be the title. Yeah, no sight, no problems, no mercy. Yeah. Yes, sensei! Yep. Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei! excuse me. I might have to watch The Karate Kid sometime this week. So I want to talk about, like, how I, like, reshaped my life and kind of had to do all that because it was not hard. Well, it was hard. I shouldn't even say that it wasn't hard. It was challenging and it was difficult, but it did make me realize that, like, humans are meant to adapt to survive, and how we adapt and how we go through that directs our course throughout life. Because honestly, I don't think that like, if you were to tell me at the age of, like, 15, like, yo, you're gonna have to reshape your whole life because of this one thing, I'm gonna be like, yeah, you're high, like, what you been smoking, because I want some. Speaking of which, I want a fucking bong hit, so I might have to get up and do that later. I'm just being a little bit lazy. So I had realized that, okay, so I had 100% sight, and then I literally lost, like, 95% of it, let's say, because I have 2% in my left eye and 3% in my right eye. Okay, so I would say that one of the things that I did learn right away was how much a person can maintain and how much a person can do, like, objective-wise, without looking. Like, you don't gotta look to take a shower. You don't gotta have eyes to see that. I mean, you kinda do, but if you memorize the what the bottle feels like, you don't really think to do that. But if you memorize how the bottle feels, you'll realize that you don't actually need sight to shower. Like, you don't need sight to tie your shoes. So quickly I realized how many things I could still do, because I was 18, without sight. And then I had went to, like I said before, my blind ninja school, and that was, I had lost my sight in March. I had done my 2-week orientation, I believe, in May? Yeah, sometime in May or sometime in May or June. I really can't remember. And I had, okay, so one of the things that I also had realized was how thankful I am of, like, how tough my family is, because my family, they let me get away, they let me slide with a lot of shit. But there was some shit they were like, nah, bro, you could do that shit on your own. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I do remember that, you know, when the doctor had told me, there's no easy way to tell you this, but you're kind of blind and, you know, sight's gone in your left eye and there's really no explanation about the right. Well, the right eye hadn't happened yet. But I was like, okay, and I believe I said it in episode 6, but if I didn't, I had about 3 days of a breakup with my eyesight, and then my mom had came into my room And she was like, hey, I need you to do the dishes. And I was like, I am blind. Automatically, I started with blind shit. I was like, see, here's the thing. I'm blind. And blind people don't. She's like, yeah, you know your hands? You could feel the grease on the plates. Get up. And, well, the breakup session was over because that's when, you know, I got kicked in a high gear. Well, not high gear, but, like, that's when, like, I just kind of slowly had to integrate myself with just, like, okay, this is just how it's gonna have to be. And, you know, there were still points when I was dealing with the whole sight in one eye, no sight in the other. I shouldn't say no sight, low vision in the other. There were some things that, like, okay. Like, I, for the first probably year, I bought a whole bunch of books and comic books on the hope and the prayer that, you know, I was gonna magically get my sight back and wake up one day. And, well, I still look at these books one day and I'm like, what a waste of money you were. And I remember, you know, getting all these movies and that weren't Blu-ray, because at the time I didn't know. So, fun fact for you guys who are visually impaired. Blu-ray, I don't know if the digital copy comes with this as well, but all Blu-ray movies come with audio description for visually impaired people, just so you guys know. So if you're thinking about, if you are, you know, thinking about Christmas shopping and you just so happen to stumble upon this episode and you just so happen to have a blind person in your life who's a movie fanatic or a movie buff, make sure you get them Blu-ray movies because they'll be able to watch them with the audio description. Okay? Only here you'll be educated. Only here you'll be educated. Yeah, like, share, subscribe. The_blind_perspective, people. Let's make it happen. Anyway, and when I had went to the blind, in my blind ninja school, I had realized, like, okay, for one, this isn't just me. Like, it's not just me that can't see. So the whole woe is me pity party quickly went away. And another thing I realized was how grateful I am to have the perspective that I did, because there were certain people that, you know, and I know people can't help this, but there were certain people that were coddled all throughout their life and it really affected them in their adulthood, and that was never someone I wanted to be. Like, I had seen a lot of people very dependent on, like super dependent on their family, like, had no independence on their own. And I also met a lot of people going to that school that were, you know, afraid of their own fucking shadow. And I was like, nope, can't do that. Like, I can't do that. And there were also, because when I went to the blind school, I learned independent living skills. Like, how to cook, how to clean, how to do shit like that. So, and I had seen, because I had classes, like, with other people, and just seeing how they operated, and I was like, nope, didn't want to do that. So I just took mental notes of, like, things that worked, things that they did, and things that, like, I would try that they would try, that they did, and I would be like, no, no. But also, not just going to the blind school, which we'll get to in a second, but also, I had went to, like, these little, like, these, like, little camps, because, like, it was, like, little camps or whatever, and, again, I met some very interesting people being there, and this was at, like, a college, okay, so, a couple of them were at colleges, so, I remember, like, there were just certain things that I just was just gonna suck it up. Like, okay, hypothetically, if I were to go to college, I wouldn't ask for a fucking wagon to carry my books because I have back problems. Oh, man, when I heard that, the first thought in my head was, yeah,
mattress actress. Okay. Okay. Another thing was that, like, I didn't want to, like, I had to, like, very much, like, reserve, like, my, I had to, like, put myself on reserve, not so much, like, be, like, stoic, but, like, I had to be mindful of who I was with, where I was, all the time. And, like, I also very quickly picked up on cues, like, vibes and shit like that, which I guess I'm very sensitive to. And I also realized how even blind people are fucking blind to vibes, you know, being creepy, crawling around on a floor, feeling around, trying to look for a date. Oh my god, I remember that. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I remember that. Asking questions. Where is she? Oh, she's gone, bro. She's gone. And, yeah, so I just realized the type of person that I wanted to be, like, okay, throughout all my life, and I'm not saying every person that I met there was something wrong with them, but there were just certain people that just really rubbed me the wrong way. And I just realized how the attitude and the mentality that you have to have while navigating through these certain situations in life, like, I really do put you in a more, in a different type of perspective. A blind perspective. Lecture, subscribe. But, like, it really did shape my mentality into being like, okay, I don't want to be the fucking Momo in the corner always having to depend on people. Which might be the reason as to why I always have a problem asking for help. Like, because, oh, Jesus. People, the advocation episode can't be coming soon. It's just, I am working on it slowly but surely. I just got a few more phone calls to make. But, like, I am constantly having to tell people that I'm blind, and it very much baffles me. How many people don't know what a white cane is with the red tip? And, like, it's a simple fact that, like, okay, when I go to the gym, they got all these fucking Pelotons, which I can't set up because I can't see. So, the people that work there, they have no problem setting up for me. There might be one or two people that, you know, don't exactly know that I'm blind. They don't exactly work there all day. And that's fine, but, like, okay. Like, okay. That's all about accommodations. No. Okay. So, but since we're talking about accommodations, so, like, okay. There have been times where I have been denied service in, you know, like, for help. And, you know, in the beginning, I would not make a scene, but I'd be like, well, why can't you help me? Are you saying you don't want to help a blind person? And I really try to make them feel like shit. And this was, you know, after I knew everything that I was going through and all that, and still going through the five stages of, you know, the sight loss and all that, which, again, no excuse for me popping the fuck off and crashing the fuck out on some people. But some people did deserve it, because I'm going to be honest, there have been a few times where I've been told, no, we can't help you, and I'm be like, no, that's not my problem. That ain't my problem. But seeing those people at, like, the camps, being integrated with, like, people my own age, going to the blind ninja school, I had seen, in a sense, like, different perspectives of different people's lives and, you know, the walks that they go through. And I realized, it was like, okay, like, if they can do it, like, everything's gonna be alright. Like, everything's gonna be okay. So I really do think, like, being integrated with blind people that were not only my own age, but also, like, various different ages and various different stages of their life,
very much helped. Also, I'm gonna say music was a big part of my recovery process. Like, I don't want to be the whole person of music is my life, but like, there were some tracks that I was like, yeah, we're just gonna play this song all day on the loop today. And another thing, like, when I came out of the blind school, like, I didn't exactly know what was gonna happen. Well, like, I knew I was like gonna go home and all that, but like, I didn't know what was gonna happen because I hadn't graduated high school yet. So I was like, I gotta graduate high school, and this and that, and this and that. And I'm thinking about all these things, and all these things were already in the process. And my uncle, who driving back, was like, you know, Johnny, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, you should start going to the gym. And I just straight up looked at him, and I was like, what? Like, what do you mean, going to the gym? And he was like, whoa, what are you going to do all day? And he basically was like, so we're going to get you in the gym. And we're also going to get you in jiu-jitsu. Yeah, that's a great idea. And you know, the coach also thinks it's a great idea. And I'm like, wait a minute, what the fuck do you mean, jiu-jitsu? You mean, no. And, but again, like, I wasn't, like, calloused up as mentally at first. And, you know, my uncle was just like, listen, perspective is reality. I know you're blind, it sucks, you know, but, you gotta make something of this, is basically what he said. And I was very reluctant, actually, at first, because I really didn't want to go to the fucking gym. Like, I was lazy. I was like, looking back, I can't imagine why I would be like, oh, I'll just be like a fat fucking pudding tub all day. But I don't know what was up with me. But it was just, I didn't have that drive, and I think a lot of that drive was taken away when I found out that I was blind. But again, like, that was just my inner bitch talking, and I didn't have time for that shit. I definitely don't have time for that shit now. Like, if it's raining outside, well, I guess we'll go to the gym tomorrow. No, bitch, get a fucking umbrella. You got a raincoat, right? Get your fucking boots on. Let's go. Another thing I guess I would say kind of helped me was that at the school for the blind ninja school, there was a therapist there, and I wouldn't say it was mandatory, but it was part of the program, and, you know, just bouncing things off of her and, you know, telling her not exactly how I felt, but, like, how I thought about certain situations and where to go about certain things, it did kind of, you know, give me a different type of perspective and a way of seeing things. So other than, you know, joining the gym and starting jiu-jitsu, I also started to find blind content creators. Like, I had one on YouTube, and I just put in blind people. And that was, like, I had to do a bit of scrolling, and I eventually found this woman who is blind. Like, she has a guide dog and everything. Her name is Molly Burke, and she was, like, a YouTuber, and, well, she still is a YouTuber, and, like, hearing that she had been, like, motivational speaking since, like, she was, like, a teenager, I was like, oh, okay. And then, at some point in time, I had found, the blind surfer, Pete Gustin. Now, I thought that this guy was fucking bullshit at first, because this guy actually is blind, but he's a surfer, like, catching the waves, cowabunga type shit. And I thought that this was bullshit, and I was like, this guy's just claiming that he's blind. No, he's actually blind, and he had a guide dog, super dog, may he rest in peace. And yeah, so I had seen a bunch of, like, a couple of other content creators, and I was like, All right, that's cool. And I had already I already have some type of knowledge of blind people because, you know, comics, Daredevil, shit like that. And I just realized probably within a year and a half, I was okay, just because we're blind doesn't mean that everything is gonna be a problem. And that's when, because I've been seeing Karate Kid for so long, that I literally would think to myself, just pain does not exist in this dojo. Now, the dojo being my body. And I'm just pain does not exist in this body, does it? No, sensei. Fear does not exist in this body, does it? No, sensei. And I would be saying this, and I just was just like, no sight, no problems, no mercy. And that's literally what I gotta hit everything with. And a couple of other things, too. I had seen people navigate to where I was like, holy shit, okay, at the school for the blind. So where we were was it was a small little town. Massachusetts, and it was kind of far from town, but not really. I'm just thinking about a friend of mine, Miss Lady. My hip, how much longer are we gonna be till we? Because we were walking to CVS because she wanted to get some ice cream, and I told her, oh, it's just a little walk. And so, shout out to my friend, Miss Lady. And she, oh, my hip. And I was like, oh, it's just a few more feet. And I did not realize that I was taking this woman almost a mile. But when I had went for my orientation as well, there was, because I needed coffee and I didn't want Dunkin' Donuts. I wanted Starbucks. And lo and behold, there was this woman who was there, who was, I think she's my age, yeah, who was my age, and she's like, oh, you guys want a Starbucks? All right, I can take you. And she, again, and when I had first seen her, I was like, you're blind? Because she didn't, again, I was under the predisposition still of a sighted person. She didn't look blind. She wasn't a cane user. So that's why we always called her Sighty, because shout out to Sighty, by the way. And I remember she guided all of us, not all of us, it wasn't a whole ass field trip. She guided three or four of us to Starbucks. And what was crazy was that when we left and the sun was up, but when we got back, it was daylight savings. So Sadie was like, okay, we got a problem because I can't see. I have no night vision. I was like, oh, okay. So it just let me know the various different degrees of how people just maintain. And I was like, damn, again, shout out to Sadie, because if I didn't see her do it, I'd have been I don't know, bro. I don't know. It's the blind leading the blind. So, big shout out to Sighty. And I had just seen so many cool, amazing people do so many cool, amazing things without vision. And I was like, okay, it's really not going to be all that bad. And it was just a mental toughness that you got to put yourself in. You have to. It's like I said in episode either 4 or 5. You have to act like you've done this before. You have to own the room that you walk in and act like you've done this before and not really give a fuck about who was watching. And that's essentially what I had to do because, in the beginning, I would go shopping and mainly I would stick with my siblings. It would be me and my sister and we would go to the mall and I'd be more or less paranoid of tripping or falling or making a fucking spectacle of myself. And it was that type of caution I had to make sure, like, okay, let's make sure the fucking blind guy doesn't fall down the escalator. But it was also like, again, big shout out to my sister, by the way, Bella. And it was times like that, because when I would go shopping, like, because I couldn't see the money at first. My vision was all up and down. So I wasn't exactly comfortable with, like, handling money because I couldn't exactly see it. And there would be times to where, like, you know, I'd be taking a little bit longer than normal and someone would, you know, make a comment or... And my sister, bless her heart, because I was 18, so she was 13? She was 13? Yeah, she was 13 at that point. 13? Yeah, she had just turned... No, she was 12. No, she was 13. She was like 13, and she would like hear somebody make a comment or somebody make that sigh of relief. And she'd be like, do you have a problem? Like, he can't see. And it was just that type of like, okay. And it also let me know, like, it's okay, like, if you got to take a long time, or longer time than normal, like, you just got to do your thing. And now I like to have my shit prepared now, for the most part, but it's that type of mentality of, like, making sure you, for one, you got everything locked in, for two, going into every situation, going into every room, like, you've already done this before. You gotta act like you already went into this job interview before. You've already met these people before. You've already taken this hike before. You've already taken this journey to wherever it is that you gotta go before. Like, for me, for example, like, it's a mile to town, okay? And at first, like, it's an open road. So, I was like, okay. But then I just thought about it and I was like, okay. Boom, bam, boom, bam. And then it's just a straight shot. Okay, cool. And then that's just how I navigate. And again, it's like I told you guys in a previous episode. It's that lesson from my Braille teacher that I got. Shout out to you. Practice makes permanent. And if I didn't catch this lesson back then, I certainly catch it now, because I say it to myself at least 5 times a day. Practice makes permanent. Like, and when it comes to practice makes permanent, you gotta take that shit everywhere with you. Like, it's like when Mr. Miyagi says karate is not just for defense, karate is for life. You know, balance and all that. Like, the practice that you put, that 10,000 hours into whatever you do, it does become a permanent reminder and a permanent thing that is embedded in you. And if I really wasn't listening to my teacher when she said that, because I really just was just, like I said, I was wanting fucking laser eyeballs. But I certainly did hear it now, and I say that at least 10 times a day, 5 to 10 times a day, because there's certain things where I'm just like, okay, let me just practice on this, and let me just make sure that it's down, and then I have it permanent. Like, it's even with this, like, this is not, like, I still have to practice at this. I still have to practice at talking in front of a microphone, because it's awkward just looking at a wall. Like, lonely, I am so lonely, no, so it's that type of mentality to where you have to put yourself to where, like, yeah, I already done this before, and that is the type of thing that you have to do, or I feel that you have to do, in order to, you know, maintain your sanity. There's also certain things that I still do, like, okay. Like, about a week ago, I went to the library, and I got a whole bunch of comic books, Walking Dead specifically, because I miss reading. I'm a person who, like, enjoyed reading, even as a sighted person. And like just holding those comic books and trying to go along with the audio version, because there's like a YouTube page that puts out audio versions of The Walking Dead comics. Shout out The Walking Bread. And I was following along with them, and it just gave me like such a nostalgic feel of like the first time I copped one of these Walking Dead comics, and when I just started like reading them in the Barnes and Noble, I remember that I was like, yo, what the fuck? And I just had seen like one or two issues, and I just started reading them, and I think it was like issue 19 and issue 23. I didn't realize I was reading them out of order. Or actually I did, I just didn't care. And then I saw the compendium, and the first compendium, which has like, you know, Rick, the governor, Negan, and I was like, who's the dude with the bat? And that's when I was like, oh shit, I gotta read these comics. And this was even before the Walking Dead show started. Like, this was like a year or two before. Yeah. And, or I think, yeah, it was like a year or two. Yeah, it was like a year or two before. And I just remember like the nostalgia feeling of like just opening that comic book and just reading and putting voices to the characters, and man, yeah. But yeah, it's just, and there's also certain things that one can do excuse me, that, you know, might not make sense to one, but it makes sense to you, which is okay. And basically the thing I'm trying to get at is, like, you basically have to put yourself in the mentality to where failure isn't an option. Like, failure is one of the options, but it's not the option for you. Like, because at the end of the day, you have to realize that it's going to take time to sculpt your inner warrior. Like, for me, right now, I did not want to be up at 3 o'clock preparing to record. Because now, as we're still recording, it is 6 o'clock in the morning. And we are still recording, and I'm going on very little sleep. No sleep, too! Yep. But it's that type of, you know, devotion, dedication that you have to put into things. Desire, devotion, and discipline is what we all have to put into things. We also have to put balance. Not to quote Mr. Miyagi, but balance is key. And with that, you just have to, again, put yourself in the mentality to where, like, you have already done this before, for one. And for two, like, dude, quitting is not an option. Like, failure is an option for the next person, but failure isn't an option for you. Because only you are going to be able to dictate what happens in your own life. This is why we have free will, people. This is why we are able to make the choices that we want to make. And only you can choose how you want to go about your journey. And that's another thing that I had to realize while being, you know, at the blind school and being at these various camps and, you know, group activities with other blind individuals, was that some of these people were in a real negative headspace. Some of these people were in a real fake positive headspace. And some of these people just would pick and prod at every little situation until they convinced themselves that they couldn't do it. And that's not something that I wanted to do. And just deep down, I realized that when it comes down to it, like, you have to peel away a lot of layers. You have to sacrifice a lot to get to where you want to be. Like, no one is just going to hand you a healthy body. Like, you're handed a healthy body sometimes at birth. Sometimes you're not so lucky. You can't be handed, you can't be handed success. You can't be handed millions of dollars unless you're inherited it. You can't be handed, you know, all these things that people want but don't want to put the dedication and desire and devotion and discipline in those goals, and they wonder as to why they don't fucking have anything. Like, again, I say this every day, like, practice makes permanent. Because, again, I still have a lot of practice to do with this podcast. Like, I listen, practice makes permanent. And practice, you practice life every day. You practice the decisions that you make, and you practice the ups and the downs. And you also practice the mistakes that you make, and you also learn the most from your mistakes. It's like I said before, you learn the most from your mistakes. You learn the most from your downfalls. You learn the most from your heartbreaks. Like, you learn the most from pain, and you learn the most when you are in pain and you realize how mentally and physically tough your body, mind, spirit, and soul truly is. And only you have that in you. It did not take me, you know, a day to become this mentally aware and this mentally sharp of the ups and the downs of the Matrix. Okay, people, like, I used to be the type of person to be, oh, it's raining, oh, I guess I'm gonna stay inside, be lazy. No, you can't do that. Like, get your raincoat, get your boots, get your fucking umbrella, and let's fucking do this. Like, even when I am in pain, I still am like, all right, we gotta go to the gym. We have to get up. And you know, people, there are some days where, like, I just look down and I just look at my shoes and I just stare at my shoes for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, damn, like, we got to get these shoes on. But once I get my shoes on, I'm like, all right, now we can't take them off. Now we can't take them off until we finish what we started. Like, and I'm not really a person that believes in motivation. I used to, and now I realize I'm like, eh. But I get very much inspired when I hear David Goggins speak about himself. And he says something to the effect of, don't quit when you're tired, quit when you're done. And I something about that just fucking sticks with me. I don't know if it sticks with you guys, anybody who's listening, to the millions and billions of people that are listening, but something about, you don't quit when you're tired, you quit when you're done, something about that just fucking sticks with me. And it is true. Like, probably one of the most dedicated people to his craft is David Goggins, because he's always changing up his workout routine. He's always, you know, bettering himself and sharpening his mentality and making sure that all his swords that he has are sharp and in a row. Like, and that takes skill. Like, again, he wasn't just handed that. Like, this dude used to be 300 pounds at one point. Like, and then he changed that shit all around. He joined the fucking Navy SEALs. And he did, all of these, like, races and marathons. And he changed his whole life around. And what really got me to better myself was just not wanting to be fat anymore. Because you guys already know, I mentioned it before, I used to be very, very big. My biggest was 382, I believe. I'm now down to, I think I'm like 205. I just weighed myself yesterday. I think I'm 205. But like, there came a point to where, a couple years ago, to where I was like, I want to look good, but it's not just going to happen overnight. And so I eventually started just walking, and I just started to get used to my surroundings, and I started to count my steps, for one, because one thing I do is I put a lot of faith in myself. Because there will be certain points throughout like my journey some days to where I will walk without my cane. And I know some of my mobility instructors would be like, but what are you doing? Especially, bless his heart, Ed from the Blind Ninja School. He'd be like, brother, what are you doing? Old OG guy from Boston. But it was just like, because I always think to myself, what if something happens? What if, like, my cane breaks? What if it gets caught in a storm drain? What if, I don't really think of a million things, but I always like to be prepared. It's like having an umbrella, okay? Like, it might not rain, but we live in Connecticut, so it might rain. You go up the street, it might fucking downpour. Anyway, so you need to put yourself in the mentality that you have this because you dictate the outcome through, like, your positivity and the dedication that you put into what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And if you don't have the desire and the dedication to put forth through that, then you might as well just stop. You might as well just not even try. Because if you're not putting in 100% of what you want into, of what you need into what you want, then why are you even doing it? Like, if you're not putting in sacrifices to try and better yourself, then what are you doing? Like, you gotta look at, like, but it also has to be with balance. And that's not, like, I'm still trying to, you know, work on the balance part, because I got the, for the most part, I've got what I'm saying. I got most of what I'm saying. The balance is the key thing to what I need. Like, the desire and the devotion and the discipline is essential in my everyday. Consistency, clearly, I need to work on. Like, I should be popping these out every day like biscuits. But needless to say, that is it for this week's episode. Make sure you guys go like, share, and subscribe. Hit the bell for the notifications. Follow the Instagram, the_blindperspective. Follow my Instagram, onlyblindghost. You already know how it's spelled. And remember to stay sharp, stay dedicated, and stay focused, people. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you.